The following is a Relevant Radio program and is protected under U.S. copyright laws. This program is made possible through the contributions of listeners like you. Support Relevant Radio by clicking on the donate icon at www.relevantradio.com.
We're winding our way down to the Triduum. Good morning, I'm Paul Sadek. It's Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Today is Tuesday, April 4th, 2023, Tuesday of Holy Week. In the Missal, it's liturgical year A, cycle 1. Tuesday is a day to pray the sorrowful mysteries of the Rosary. And our saint today is Saint Isidore of Seville. Born in 560, in his lifetime, Spain was split in two. One people, Roman Catholics, struggled with another, Arian Goths. Isidore reunited Spain, making it a center of culture and learning. He was born in Cartagena of a family that included three other sibling saints, Leander, Fulgentius, and Florentina. He was educated by his elder brother, whom he succeeded as Bishop of Seville. He was sometimes called the schoolmaster of the Middle Ages because the encyclopedia he wrote was used as a textbook for nine centuries. He required seminaries to be built in every diocese, wrote a rule for religious orders, and founded schools that taught every branch of learning. Isidore wrote numerous books, including a dictionary, an encyclopedia, a history of Goths, and a history of the world beginning with creation. He has been suggested as patron of the Internet. During the last 6 months of his life, he increased his charities so much that his house was crowded from morning till night with the poor of the countryside. Saint Isidore of Seville died in 636. Saint Isidore, pray for us. Let's offer this day to the Lord. Lord Jesus, I unite myself to your perpetual, unceasing, universal sacrifice. I offer myself to you every day of my life and every moment of every day according to your most holy and adorable will. Since you have been the victim of my salvation, I wish to be the victim of your love. Accept my desire, take my offering, and graciously hear my prayer. Let me live for love of you. Let me die for love of you. Let my last heartbeat be an act of perfect love. Amen. And we join Pope Francis in praying for the spread of peace and nonviolence by decreasing the use of weapons by states and citizens. 10 Minutes with Jesus is a guided meditation on the gospel of the day prepared by a Catholic priest. Here's today's 10 Minutes with Jesus.
My Lord and my God, Jesus, I firmly believe that you found me, that you saved me, that you loved me, that you died for me, that you rose for me, that you chose me to be your apostle, that you are my God, that you are glorious in your death and resurrection. He found me. That's the only way to put it. He found me in every sense, physically and spiritually. John puts it like this in his gospel. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." So I did. I'd been looking for meaning in my life. The words of scripture read out in the synagogues each week had been resounding in my mind and heart like a booming gong. The great prophet whom Moses foretold, the Messiah the prophet spoke of, who was he? Was now the time for him to come? And Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, came to me. I'd been looking for the way to salvation, and the way came to me, like a road suddenly presenting itself at your feet. He found me, and I followed him. I am from Bethsaida, the same town as the siblings Peter and Andrew. Soon after, I learned that they had made the same discovery. They had followed Jesus after he came to them at the River Jordan, where they had gone for the baptism of John. "We have found the Messiah," Andrew had told his brother, and he brought him to Jesus. I found my friend Nathaniel. As always, he wasn't short of a reply. I said to him, "We found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." But Nathanael answered, "Come on, Philip, can anything good come out of Nazareth?" I didn't try arguing. "Come and see" was all I said. I brought him to Jesus, and Jesus did the rest. Within seconds, my cynical friend was proclaiming Jesus as Son of God and King of Israel. And from then on, we were both disciples of Jesus, following him wherever he went, sharing his life on the road. And every moment with him, with you, Jesus, because I know you read my every thought and hear my every prayer, was a constant delight and a constant challenge. I remember that day when there was that crowd of 5,000. Well, that's just the men, not counting the women and children. And you asked us how we could buy bread to feed so many. I was aware of our financial situation, or I thought I was. I hadn't realized that Judas was regularly taking bits from our fund. And I answered, 200 denarii would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little. I thought I was clever, practical, good with numbers. Yet within a few minutes, from that boy's 5 barley loaves, bread was pouring out from your hands, and we were giving it to the people. And then came that moment just before your passion. Those Greeks who came to me. I can speak Greek, I even have a Greek name, so it's not surprising they looked for me. Sir, they said, we wish to see Jesus. Oh, my friends, you just don't realize what a precedent you've set. Like you, thousands and millions and billions throughout time and in all places. I got Andrew to help me, and we told Jesus. And then, Jesus, you suddenly seemed to get excited. You said to us, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. What did you see, Lord, as you said those words? Were you looking ahead to the future harvest? Did those Greeks represent the very beginning of your universal mission? And yet even then, you were seeing your passion. You saw you had to be the grain of wheat which dies, as you did, to bear a great harvest. You told us then that your soul was troubled. You prayed out loud to your Father, as if a part of you wished to be spared your passion. It was like your later prayer in your agony in the garden. And what shall I say? You prayed as Andrew and I stood before you. Father, save me from this hour. No, for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then suddenly a voice came from heaven, and it boomed, I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. Jesus, always that same idea, and this time explicitly confirmed by the Father. Seeing your passion as glory, and all that suffering, all that brutality, seeing it all as glory, because through it God's will would be done. Your Father's plan of salvation would be carried out. We give glory to God even, perhaps especially, in our suffering. And you foresaw your victory over Satan. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. Not just those Greeks who wished to see you, but all men and all women of all time could come to you for salvation. Lifted up from the earth. We understood nothing. Well, there's nothing new in that. We always failed to understand. But you were showing us how you would die. Lifted up on the cross. My next moment of dumbness was at the Last Supper. Lord, I asked you, show us the Father, and we shall be satisfied. As if I were asking for some trifling matter, like give us fish for dinner and we shall be satisfied. A vision of the Father, no less. I was asking for that. But as always, Jesus, our stupidity was merely the canvas for your love and truth to shine out more clearly. Thanks to my foolish question, you revealed your oneness with the Father. You said to me, have I been with you so long, and yet you do not know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? Your oneness of being with the Father, your shared divinity, together with the Holy Spirit. And so when the Father is glorified, so are you. And when you are glorified, so is the Father and the Spirit too. But how much you insisted on glory, and glory through the cross. We humans are so foolish. We associate glory with human praise, with glare and glitter. But you, Jesus, found glory in rejection, in ignominy, even in being betrayed. So when Judas's greed finally led him to sell you to the Jewish authorities, there too you found a way to glorify your Father. At the Last Supper, you began to be troubled in spirit. It wasn't like you. You were always so cheerful and serene. But we soon discovered why. Truly, truly, you told us, one of you will betray me. We were shocked. Indeed, Peter was so disconcerted that he made signs to John, who was lying close to your breast, and whispered him to ask you who you had in mind. You told John it would be the one to whom you gave a piece of food you had dipped in a dish. You gave it to Judas and said to him, for all of us to hear, what you are going to do, do quickly. Now none of us had any idea what this meant. Some of us thought, I know because we discussed this later, that since Judas had the money box, you were telling him to buy what we needed for the feast or to give something to the poor. Judas went out into the darkness, into the night. And then Jesus, as Judas was walking away to betray you, you talked again about giving glory to God. Now is the Son of Man glorified, and in him God is glorified. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and glorify him at once. Of course, we didn't get it. I don't think many get it still today. But Jesus was once again insisting that God is glorified, and he, Jesus, is glorified in suffering and rejection. In your passion, Lord, in your death, in your humiliating death on the cross, you turned shame into glory. You turned apparent failure into glory. You turned loss in human terms into glory, because you united it all with your Father, with your Father's will. Everything for love of your Father. After your resurrection, you appeared to us glorious. Your very wounds shined gloriously. But your glory wasn't only in your triumph over death. It was already in your sharing in death. Your glory wasn't only in your victory. It was also in your seeming defeat. And throughout the centuries, Christians have been sharing your glory and giving glory to you and your Father and the Holy Spirit by learning to turn suffering into love, shame into union with your cross, and death into a deeper union with you. I, Philip, have learned this, helped by John, helped later by St. Paul, helped above all by the Holy Spirit guiding me into deeper truth, and helped by the Blessed Virgin Mary, who stood weeping but faithful and glorious by the cross when we had all run away, all of us except for John. I, Philip, have learnt what true glory is. Now is the Son of Man glorified, and in him God is glorified. Now, in his passion and death, and in the sanctified shame and suffering of faithful Christians down the ages. I give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have called me, that you have chosen me, that you have made me your apostle, that you have shown me what true glory is.
You'll find more of 10 Minutes with Jesus at relevantradio.com and on the Relevant Radio app. It's 16 minutes past the hour, and this is Daybreak. It's Tuesday of Holy Week, April 4th, 2023. I'm Paul Sadek, and this is Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. We begin this day of prayer with the whole church as we're led by our friends at divineoffice.org in the invitatory psalm and the office of readings.
Lord, open my lips,
and my mouth will proclaim your praise.
Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering.
Come, let us sing to the Lord and shout with joy to the rock who saves us. Let us approach him with praise and thanksgiving, and sing joyful songs to the Lord.
Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering.
The Lord is God, the mighty God, the great King over all the gods. He holds in his hands the depths of the earth and the highest mountains as well. He made the sea. It belongs to him, the dry land too, for it was formed by his hands.
Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering.
Come then, let us bow down and worship, bending the knee before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are his people, the flock he shepherds.
Come. Let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering.
Today, listen to the voice of the Lord. Do not grow stubborn as your fathers did in the wilderness, when at Meribah and Massah they challenged me and provoked me, although they had seen all my works.
Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering.
40 years I endured that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my anger, they shall not enter into my rest.
Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering.
Surrender to God, and He will do everything for you.
Surrender to God, and He will do everything for you.
Do not fret because of the wicked. Do not envy those who do evil, for they wither quickly like grass and fade like the green of the fields. If you trust in the Lord and do good, then you will live in the land and be secure. If you find your delight in the Lord, He will grant your heart's desire. Commit your life to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will act, so that your justice breaks forth like the light, your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait in patience. Do not fret at the man who prospers, a man who makes evil plots to bring down the needy and the poor. Calm your anger and forget your rage. Do not fret. It only leads to evil. For those who do evil shall perish. The patient shall inherit the land. A little longer, and the wicked shall have gone. Look at his place, he is not there. But the humble shall own the land and enjoy the fullness of peace.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Surrender to God, and He will do everything for you.
Turn away from evil. Learn to do God's will. The Lord will strengthen you if you obey Him.
Turn away from evil. Learn to do God's will. And the Lord will strengthen you if you obey Him.
The wicked man plots against the just and gnashes his teeth against him. But the Lord laughs at the wicked, for He sees that his day is at hand. The sword of the wicked is drawn. His bow is bent to slaughter the upright. Their sword shall pierce their own hearts, and their bow shall be broken to pieces. The just man's few possessions are better than the wicked man's wealth. For the power of the wicked shall be broken, and the Lord will support the just. He protects the lives of the upright. Their heritage will last forever. They shall not be put to shame in evil days. In time of famine, their food shall not fail. But all the wicked shall perish, and all the enemies of the Lord. They are like the beauty of the meadows. They shall vanish. They shall vanish like smoke. The wicked man borrows without repaying, but the just man is generous and gives. Those blessed by the Lord shall own the land, but those He has cursed shall be destroyed. The Lord guides the steps of a man and makes safe the path of one he loves. Though he stumble, he shall never fall, for the Lord holds him by the hand. I was young, and now I am old, but I have never seen the just man forsaken, nor his children begging for bread. All the day he is generous and lends, and his children become a blessing. Then turn away from evil and do good, and you shall have a home forever,
for the Lord loves justice and will never forsake his friends. The unjust shall be wiped out forever, and the children of the wicked destroyed. The just shall inherit the land, there they shall live forever. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Turn away from evil, learn to do God's will, and the Lord will strengthen you if you obey him.
Wait for the Lord to lead, then follow in his way.
Wait for the Lord to lead, then follow in his way.
The just man's mouth utters wisdom, and his lips speak what is right. The law of his God is in his heart. His steps shall be saved from stumbling. The wicked man watches for the just and seeks occasion to kill him. The Lord will not leave him in his power, nor let him be condemned when he is judged. Then wait for the Lord, keep to his way. It is he who will free you from the wicked, raise you up to possess the land, and see the wicked destroyed. I have seen the wicked triumphant, towering like a cedar of Lebanon. I passed by again, he was gone. I searched, he was nowhere to be found. See the just man, mark the upright. For the peaceful man, a future lies in store. But sinners shall all be destroyed. No future lies in store for the wicked. The salvation of the just comes from the Lord, their stronghold in time of distress. The Lord helps them and delivers them and saves them, for their refuge is in him. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Let us pray. You proclaim the poor to be blessed, Lord Jesus, for the kingdom of heaven is given to them. Fill us generously with your gifts. Teach us to put our trust in the Father and to seek his kingdom first of all, rather than imitate the powerful and envy the rich.
Wait for the Lord to lead, then follow in his way.
When I am lifted up from the earth,
I will draw all men to myself.
A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Since we are surrounded by this cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every encumbrance of sin which clings to us, and persevere in running the race which lies ahead. Let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, who inspires and perfects our faith. For the sake of the joy which lay before him, he endured the cross, heedless of its shame. He has taken his seat at the right of the throne of God. Remember how he endured the opposition of sinners. Hence do not grow despondent or abandon the struggle. In your fight against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood. Moreover, you have forgotten the encouraging words addressed to you as sons. My sons, do not disdain the discipline of the Lord, nor lose heart when he reproves you. For whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. He scourges every son he receives. Endure your trials as the discipline of God, who deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you do not know the discipline of sons, you are not sons, but bastards. If we respected our earthly fathers who corrected us, should we not all the more submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us as seemed right to them, to prepare us for the short span of mortal life. But God does so for our true profit, that we may share his holiness. At the time it is administered, all discipline seems a cause for grief and not for joy. But later it brings forth the fruit of peace and justice to those who are trained in its school. So, strengthen your drooping hands and your weak knees. Make straight the paths you walk on, that your halting limbs may not be dislocated, but healed. The Word of the Lord. Jesus, the beginning and end of our faith, endured the cross, heedless of the shame, for the sake of the joy that would follow it.
He is seated now at the right hand of the throne of God.
He humbled himself by showing obedience, even when this meant death.
He is seated now at the right hand of the throne of God.
From the Book of the Holy Spirit by St. Basil, Bishop. When mankind was estranged from him by disobedience, God, our Savior, made a plan for raising us from our fall and restoring us to friendship with himself. According to this plan, Christ came in the flesh. He showed us the gospel way of life. He suffered, died on the cross, was buried, and rose from the dead. He did this so that we could be saved by imitation of him and recover our original status as sons of God by adoption. To attain holiness, then, we must not only pattern our lives on Christ by being gentle, humble, and patient, we must also imitate him in his death. Taking Christ for his model, Paul said that he wanted to become like him in his death in the hope that he too would be raised from death to life. We imitate Christ's death by being buried with him in baptism. If we ask what this kind of burial means and what benefit we may hope to derive from it, it means, first of all, making a complete break with our former way of life. And our Lord himself said that this cannot be done unless a man is born again. In other words, we have to begin a new life. We cannot do so until our previous life has been brought to an end. When runners reach the turning point on a race course, they have to pause briefly before they can go back in the opposite direction. So also, when we wish to reverse the direction of our lives, there must be a pause or a death to mark the end of one life and the beginning of another. Our descent into hell takes place when we imitate the burial of Christ by our baptism. The bodies of the baptized are, in a sense, buried in the water as a symbol of their renunciation of the sins of their unregenerative nature. As the Apostle says, the circumcision you have undergone is not an operation performed by human hands, but the complete stripping away of your unregenerative nature. This is the circumcision that Christ gave us, and it is accomplished by our burial with him in baptism. Baptism cleanses the soul from the pollution of worldly thoughts and inclinations. You will wash me, says the psalmist, and I will be whiter than snow. We receive this saving baptism only once, because there was only one death and one resurrection for the salvation of the world, and baptism is its symbol. By being baptized into Christ Jesus, we have all shared in his death.
We became one with him by dying as he did. Therefore, we shall be one with him also in rising to new life.
By our baptism, we were buried with him. We shared in his death.
We became one with him by dying as he did.
Therefore,
we shall be one with him also in rising to new life.
Let us pray. Almighty, ever-living God, grant us so to celebrate the mysteries of the Lord's Passion that we may merit to receive your pardon. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen.
Twenty-four minutes before the hour. On Tuesday, April 4th, 2023, today's gospel is coming up in just a minute on Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. It's Tuesday, April 4th, 2023, Tuesday of Holy Week. I'm Paul Sadek, and this is Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. In today's Gospel from Truth and Life, the dramatized audio Bible, the Lord points out both of his betrayers. From the 13th chapter of the Gospel of John.
When Jesus had thus spoken, he was troubled in spirit and testified,
"Truly, truly I say to you, one of you will betray me."
The disciples looked at one another, uncertain of whom he spoke. One of his disciples, whom Jesus loved, was lying close to the breast of Jesus. So Simon Peter beckoned to him,
"Tell us who it is of whom he speaks."
So, lying thus close to the breast of Jesus, he said to him, "Lord, who is it?"
"It is he to whom I shall give this morsel when I have dipped it."
So when he had dipped the morsel, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. Then after the morsel, Satan entered into him. Jesus said to him,
"What you are going to do, do quickly."
Now, no one at the table knew why he said this to him. Some thought that because Judas had the money box, Jesus was telling him, "Buy what we need for the feast," or that he should give something to the poor. So after receiving the morsel, he immediately went out, and it was night.
"Now is the Son of Man glorified, and in him God is glorified. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me. And as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come."
Simon Peter said to him,
"Lord, where are you going?"
"Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow afterward."
"Lord, why cannot I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you."
"Will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly I say to you, the cock will not crow till you have denied me three times."
This selection from Truth and Life, the dramatized audio Bible, courtesy of Falcon Picture Group, daily and Sunday Mass readings are on the Relevant Radio app. Jesus knew what his purpose was. And it wasn't to oust the Romans or to make people wealthy, but to save us from our sins. Today's reading from In Conversation with God by Father Francisco Fernandez Carvajal is from Volume 2, Lent and Eastertide. Jesus Christ is King over all beings, since all things were made through him, and in a special way over all men who have been bought with a price. The angel had already told this to Mary, "You will bear a son, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and of his kingdom there will be no end." His kingdom, however, is not like those of this earth. During his public ministry, he never once accedes to the enthusiasm of the crowds who viewed things too humanly, and with a number of ambitions which were merely temporal, Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the hills by himself. Nevertheless, he accepts the messianic act of faith made by Nathanael. You are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. In fact, our Lord recalls an ancient prophecy in order to confirm and add depth to these words. You will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Jesus affirms his condition as Messiah and Son of God. The Jewish authorities, blinded by their incredulity, even managed to acknowledge the exclusive political power of Caesar the Roman as long as they can reject the kingship of Christ and be rid of him. In spite of all of this, however, upon the wood of the cross stands written forever, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. He had told Pilate that his kingdom was not of this world. He tells us that his kingdom is one of peace, justice, and love. God the Father has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption. Nevertheless, there are now many people who reject him. In many places, you seem to hear that terrible cry, "We do not want him to reign over us." It must have been with great heaviness of heart that our Lord commented upon that parable, which reflects the attitude of many people. But his citizens hated him, Jesus tells us in the parable, and sent an embassy after him, saying, "We do not want this man to reign over us." Sin is truly this great mystery of iniquity. We actually reject Jesus. The reign of sin, wherever sin dwells, is a reign of darkness, sadness, loneliness, deception, and lies. All the tragedies and calamities in this world and our personal sorrows find their origin in these words. We do not want this man, Christ, to reign over us. We now finish our prayer telling Jesus once again that he is the King of my heart. He is the King of that intimate interior world of mine where no one can enter and where I alone am master. Here in my heart, Jesus is King. This you well know, O Lord. In Conversation with God by Francis Fernandez is published by Scepter Publishers. You'll find it at your local Catholic bookstore. It's 14 minutes before the hour. We continue praying now as we join the whole church, led by our friends at DivineOffice.org, a lay apostolate promoting the prayer of the Liturgy of the Hours by all of the faithful, as we join together in morning prayer.
God, come to my assistance.
Lord, make haste to help me.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
O Lord, defend my cause. Rescue me from deceitful and impious men.
O Lord, defend my cause. Rescue me from deceitful and impious men.
Defend me, O God, and plead my cause against a godless nation. From deceitful and cunning men, rescue me, O God. Since you, O God, are my stronghold, why have you rejected me? Why do I go mourning, oppressed by the foe? O send forth your light and your truth. Let these be my guide. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. And I will come to the altar of God, the God of my joy. My Redeemer, I will thank you on the harp, O God, my God. Why are you cast down, my soul? Why groan within me? Hope in God. I will praise him still, my Savior and my God. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
Amen. Let us pray. Almighty Father, source of everlasting light, send forth your truth into our hearts and pour over us the brightness of your light.
O Lord, defend my cause. Rescue me from deceitful and impious men.
Lord my God, you defended my cause. You ransomed my life.
Lord my God, you defended my cause. You ransomed my life.
Once I said, in the noontime of life I must depart to the gates of the netherworld, where I shall be consigned for the rest of my years.
I said, I shall see the Lord no more in the land of the living. No longer shall I behold my fellow men among those who dwell in the world.
My dwelling, like a shepherd's tent, is struck down and borne away from me. You have folded up my life like a weaver who severs the last thread.
Day and night you give me over to torment. I cry out until the dawn. Like a lion, he breaks all my bones. Day and night you give me over to torment.
Like a swallow, I utter shrill cries. I moan like a dove. My eyes grow weak, gazing heavenward. O Lord, I am in straits. Be my surety.
You have preserved my life from the pit of destruction when you cast behind your back all my sins.
For it is not the netherworld that gives you thanks, nor death that praises you. Neither do those who go down into the pit await your kindness.
The living give you thanks, as I do today. Fathers declare to their sons, O God, your faithfulness.
The Lord is our Savior. We shall sing to stringed instruments in the house of the Lord all the days of our life.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Lord my God, you defended my cause. You ransomed my life.
My servant, the just one, will justify many by taking their sins on himself.
To
you our praise is due in Zion, O God. To you we pay our vows, you who hear our prayer. To you all flesh will come with its burden of sin. Too heavy for us our offenses, but you wipe them away. Blessed is he whom you choose and call to dwell in your courts. We are filled with the blessings of your house, of your holy temple. You keep your pledge with wonders, O God, our Savior, the hope of all the earth, of far distant isles. You uphold the mountains with your strength. You are girded with power. You still the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, and the tumult of the peoples. The ends of the earth stand in awe at the sight of your wonders. The lands of sunrise and sunset you fill with your joy. You care for the earth. Give it water, you fill it with riches. Your river in heaven brims over to provide its grain. And thus you provide for the earth. You drench its furrows, you level it, soften it with showers, you bless its growth. You crown the year with your goodness. Abundance flows in your steps, in the pastures of the wilderness it flows. The hills are girded with joy. The meadows covered with flocks, the valleys are decked with wheat. They shout for joy. Yes, they sing. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Let us pray. Lord God, hope of all the earth, hear the humble prayer of your children as we sing your praises. Pour out your Spirit on us so that our lives may bear fruit abundantly.
My servant, the just one, will justify many by taking their sins on himself. A reading from the book of Zechariah. I will pour out on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and petition, and they shall look on him whom they have thrust through, and they shall mourn for him as one mourns for an only son, and they shall grieve over him as one grieves over a firstborn. On that day, the mourning in Jerusalem shall be great. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
By your own blood, Lord, you brought us back to God.
By your own blood, Lord, you brought us back to God.
From every tribe and tongue and people and nation,
You brought us back to God.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
By your own blood, Lord, you brought us back to God.
Father, give me the glory that I had with you before the world was made.
Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He has come to his people and set them free.
He has raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of his servant David.
Through his holy prophets, he promised of old that he would save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us.
He promised to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant.
This was the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight all the days of our life.
You, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins.
In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Father, give me the glory that I had with you before the world was made.
Let us pray to Christ our Savior, who redeemed us by his death and resurrection.
Lord, have mercy on us.
You went up to Jerusalem to suffer, and so enter into your glory.
Bring your church to the Passover feast of heaven.
Lord, have mercy on us.
You were lifted high on the cross and pierced by the soldier's lance.
Heal our wounds.
Lord, have mercy on us.
You made the cross the tree of life.
Give its fruit to those reborn in baptism.
Lord, have mercy on us.
On the cross, you forgave the repentant thief.
Forgive us our sins.
Lord, have mercy on us.
We pause in silence to remember our own petitions. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Let us conclude our prayers with the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil.
Almighty, ever-living God, grant us so to celebrate the mysteries of the Lord's Passion that we may merit to receive your pardon. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen.
May the Lord bless us, protect us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.
Hey, check your local parish bulletin and take note of the special services coming up in the Triduum, Holy Thursday through Easter Sunday. Then take part in them. Morning Air is coming up in just a few minutes with John and Glenn, Patrick Madrid a bit later on. I'm Paul Sadek. I'll see you tomorrow morning, 4 a.m. Central, or on the Relevant Radio app. Go out, make this a great day, and live in the light of the Lord.
Audio from the Liturgy of the Hours, courtesy of DivineOffice.org. Readings from In Conversation with God, courtesy of Scepter Publishers. Selections from Truth and Life, the dramatized audio Bible, courtesy of Falcon Picture Group. 10 minutes with Jesus is used with permission. Daybreak is available on RelevantRadio.com and on the Relevant Radio app. Daybreak is a production of Relevant Radio.